I would ask you to turn in your scriptures with me to Proverbs chapter 4. I read the entire chapter, verse 23 being our text for this morning. Let's hear the word of God. Listen, my sons, to a father's instruction. Pay attention and gain understanding. I give you sound learning so that you do not forsake my teaching. When I was a boy in my father's house, still tender and an only child of my mother, he taught me and said, lay hold of my words with all your heart. Keep my commands and you will live. Get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget my words or swerve from them. Do not forsake wisdom, and she will protect you. Love her, and she will watch over you. Wisdom is supreme, therefore get wisdom. Though it costs you all you have, get understanding. Esteem her, and she will exalt you. Embrace her, and she will honor you. She will be a garland of grace on your head and present you with a crown of splendor. Listen, my son, accept what I say, and the years of your life will be many. I guide you in the way of wisdom and lead you along straight paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hampered. When you run, you will not stumble. Hold on to instruction. Do not let it go. Guard it well, for it is your life. Do not set your foot on the path of the wicked or walk in the way of the evil men. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn from it and go on your way, for they will not sleep till they do evil. They are robbed of slumber till they make someone fall. They eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. The path of the righteous is like the first gleam of day or of dawn, shining ever brighter till the full light of day. But the way of the wicked is deep darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. My son, pay attention to what I say. Listen closely to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to a man's whole body. Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Put away perversity from your mouth. Keep corrupt talk from your lips. Let your eyes look straight ahead, for fix your gaze directly before you. Make level paths for your feet, and take only ways that are firm. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Keep your foot from evil. May God bless his word to us as we read it and as we meditate on it this morning. Let's ask his blessing on that. Lord our God, we take up your word with the prayer that your counsel may be received with faith and that we may be eager to put into practice the counsel of your word. We thank you once again for this passage and for your grace to us. And we pray that you'd guide our thoughts this morning for Jesus' sake. Amen. A few weeks ago, I went to the walk-in clinic. I was having a pain in my shoulder, which seemed to get worse, so I thought maybe I better check it out. Well, I went in and, you know, the nurse gets you in the office there and she takes your blood pressure and asks a bunch of questions. And pretty soon the doctor comes in and he takes my blood pressure again. And then he says to me, you know, your blood pressure is really low. I think you ought to go directly to the hospital's emergency room. Well, we talked a little bit about it and he took my blood pressure once again and it was up just a little bit. So he finally decided I go see the doctor that would check the cardiologist. An EKG was scheduled, and a few days later I came back and we had to sit down and talked about my blood pressure, which was now normal. And he said, your heart is a little bit irregular, but it's not much different than the one you had several years ago. So after we talked, he said, maybe you should come in another year. I said, how about if I come in when I think there's a problem? He said, well, that's okay. So anyway, doctors are very concerned when you have heart problems. They don't look about anything else, but they want to say, well, let's take care of the heart problem first and deal with that. Untreated heart problems and untreated systems can lead to serious consequences. you know that's true in our spiritual lives as well? God's word focuses on the heart. Spiritual health, spiritual well-being is not possible if we have a bad heart. You cannot live a strong, faithful Christian life when the heart is not right with God, and unless it's filled with God's love, you're not going to do the things that please God. Now, the Lord has given you a pastor over the past years and others before that who loved him and counsel from his word. He's given you elders who are really responsible to keep tabs with the members of the congregation, to, might say, assess your heart and where your heart is and what you're doing to serve the Lord. These men are called by God because he cares too about you, and your elders, faithful elders, are a special blessing to the church. And people are to follow the elders and to learn from them. Well, chapter 4 that of Proverbs I just read begins, "Listen, my sons, to a father's instruction. Pay attention and get understanding." It said, "Lay hold of the words with all your heart. Keep my commands and you will live." Now, each of the first 7 chapters of the book of Proverbs deals with counsel of God and with wisdom that comes from God and the importance of that wisdom. Having that wisdom, we will have life. Rejecting that wisdom leads to death and to judgment. God appointed fathers and mothers then to pass on that wisdom to their children, to teach them from early on the ways of God and to counsel them and help them to focus on the things that please God. And we are encouraged as fathers to be faithful ourselves. You're not going to be faithful, your children are not going to be taught to be faithful if the example that we as fathers do is not set right for them. So we are thankful for spiritual fathers. I'm thankful for a father that I had who was a godly man, and I pray that my own example to my children and grandchildren are also the kind of examples that will help them. Now, the emphasis here in Proverbs falls on wisdom. Wisdom that comes from God. It's the wisdom that we and our people need if we're to have the life and the blessing of God. And especially when you focus on verse 23, where it says, "Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life." The heart, the care of the heart is a vital matter. A well-kept heart is really the key to a godly life. Guard your hearts then. It is the wellspring, it is the source of everything that comes forth in your own life, that proceeds from your mouth, that your actions and your ways. 3 things this morning I want to stress as we look at this verse. First one is the importance of the heart. It is the wellspring of life. Secondly is the keeping of the heart. You are to guard your hearts. And finally, the priority of the heart. Above all else, guard your heart. First then, the importance of the heart. The heart is called the wellspring of life. When a people settle in a new area, one of the things that are important is a good source of clean water. Water that's good for the family, water that will be helpful for the animals and the crops. When water dries up, when the water is polluted, then everything else is in danger. Well, the heart of the person then is said to be that fountain of all of our actions. What you are, what you say, what you do, these proceed from your inner nature, from the condition of your heart. Proverbs 23, verse 7, "As a man thinks in his heart, so is he." Jesus says in Matthew 13, 34, "Out of the heart, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks." Now, you express what's in your heart. You listen to somebody else, you hear somebody else, you get to know them, what they're saying and doing. You get a sort of reflection of what their heart is like. No good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart. The evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. I looked up the word heart in the concordance, and you can imagine there's hundreds of references to the heart in the scriptures. And if you look at these, there are different words that describe the heart. Now, I want to give you a group of words that fit together and what you'd expect from a person with this kind of heart. First of all, there's the hard heart, the proud heart, the deceitful heart, the wicked heart, the heart of unbelief. person with such a heart, what do you expect of that person? You're not going to expect them to be living a godly life. You're not going to be expecting them to do anything but selfish, angry actions and words, hateful things, because it comes out of a heart that's in rebellion against God. Second, there's a broken heart. There's a contrite heart. There's a sorrowful heart. That's a heart of a person who acknowledges his or her sin, who humbles himself before God and others. Think of the prodigal son. The prodigal son who demanded his inheritance and went out and spent it in wild living, and until it was gone, he was taking care of the pigs in the farmer's property, and comes to himself and says, he says, "Oh God, I messed up. I was so sure of myself. I thought I knew what I was doing, that I was wise, but look at the way I've hurt people. Look at what I've ended up myself. Look at how I've treated my family. Can you forgive me?" And so in that attitude of heart, he goes and returns to his father, and there is received and accepted again by his father. And there are these words: a clean heart, a pure heart, a wise and merciful heart, an integrity of heart, a perfect heart, upright heart. That describes a person who's right on the inside. We're talking about a Joseph, a Daniel, a Mary, those whose heart is right with the Lord and who's wise in their actions. Then there's the heart of love, the tender-hearted, the kind-hearted, the good-hearted. From such a heart, you'd expect actions of love and encouragement, a person who's kind-hearted. I suppose we think most of all of Jesus Christ himself, who comes and walks among the people, who speaks and works with the poor and the weak, the sick and the afflicted. You can understand that somebody with such a heart is a wellspring of life, where there's a heart of love and compassion. Your heart then, the condition of your heart, or my heart too, gives rise to the way we think and act and do and the things we do. This is what's inside, coming out of us. So I want us this morning to think about that heart and the importance of that heart that you have and that God has given. Now the Bible tells us, of course, that we don't come into this world with a clean and pure heart. We are born with a sinful heart, a corrupt heart. You see this baby that's just been born. You look at the cute little child and you think how sweet and tender and innocent. And yet you know that child is not innocent. The child is born with a nature that's bent. It isn't all expressed, but it's bent. And as the child develops, what the child does and acts and is attracted to is not going to be the right thing, but it's going to be the wrong things. This life that's beginning to develop, a mind that is precious and curious and reaching out, able to do many good things, yet we find that this child is bent in a different way. Every part of that baby, mind, its desires, its will are all bent, are all sinful. When David in Psalm 51 speaks of his heart, he says, "Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time of my mother conceiving me." Was he wicked and blood? No, he was bent in that way, so he knew that right there at his birth, he was already beginning in the wrong direction. Often I heard it say today, "I can't understand how people, especially children and young people, can do such terrible things." Someone will say, "You know, I never believed that person would ever do anything like that." But Jesus tells us, out of the heart, out of man's heart comes the evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, slander, envy, arrogance, folly, all these things. You know, where do those things come from? They're part of the heart with which we were born with. Now, we don't want to believe that. We don't want to believe that about ourselves and about our children and about our friends and about our neighbors and about people from our church. There may be somebody people are like that, but God says us the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. That's the heart that you have, born with, and your children, and all that you know. And we have to face that fact. I'm thankful that by God's grace, all that's in the heart of mankind isn't expressed, or we'd never be able to live in a world of such terrible things because of the evil that's within us. Clearly then, the heart needs to be cleansed, made new by the grace of God and by the power of the Holy Spirit. We need a new heart. If the heart is the wellspring of life and truth and goodness and godliness, then a change must take place in that heart. Things will not come from the natural heart. We'll not see the things that please God or the things that we want to know. David acknowledges that again in Psalm 51 as he confesses his sin of adultery. He goes on to say, as he confesses his sin and pleads for God's mercy, "Create in me a clean, a pure heart, O God." David realizes that he needs a new heart, a clean heart, and he understands that God must give him that heart. That's not the heart that he was born with. Isn't that what Jesus says to Nicodemus? When Nicodemus comes to him at night, Jesus says to him, first of all, "No man can enter the kingdom of God except he is born again, unless he is born of the Spirit." He goes on to say that the flesh gives birth to flesh. The natural person gives birth to natural children. The natural person who has a sinful heart gives birth to children that have sinful hearts as well. All of our children then have a heart that produces evil things. But it's the Spirit that gives birth to Spirit. Those that are born of the Holy Spirit, those that are made new by His grace, are given a new nature. And they will produce the things that please God. So we say, except a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God, he cannot do the things of the kingdom. Now Jesus doesn't define the word heart, or doesn't use the word heart, but he's speaking of the heart when he says that the new life that comes from by the Holy Spirit, if any man is in Christ, he's what? A new creation. In Christ, there's a new creation, there's a new heart, a new life given. I have not found the phrase in the Bible, "inviting Jesus into my heart," probably gives too much confidence to or credit to the person who says that. But at the same time, it does focus on the fact that unless Jesus changes our heart, unless we come to know, and we need to know that Jesus, who is changing our heart, he does this by the Holy Spirit, but we do need him in our heart and lives. Without that, we're not going to be the kind of person or do the kind of things that we're able to do. So if the heart is to be the wellspring of life, if the heart is to lead to godly things that are come from you and me, it's because the heart has been made new by the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus says in John 7, whoever believes in me, as the scripture says, streams of living water will flow from with him. By that is meant the Spirit that those who believed on him were to receive. So we're talking here then about the importance of the heart. But secondly, consider the keeping of the heart. Not only are we to see that we need a new heart, but we're not to be focused on keeping that heart right and keeping in the Lord. Guard your heart, our text says. See to it that your heart that's been made new by Christ continues to follow Christ, growing in his grace and knowledge. Guard your hearts lest you grow cool and cold in your ways. Guard your heart lest you become defiled and corrupted and polluted by sin. Guard your heart lest you become content with some sins that are still there and just say, well, that's okay, we're all sinners, and just excuse ourselves. Back in Sheboygan, Sheboygan River was a river that was really polluted. There were factories upstream that were just dumping their sewage in the river, thinking it was being carried away, but found out that the river was polluted. You couldn't eat the fish, and other things there. So a lot of money was, well, first of all, the factories were forced to quit their dumping, and then a lot of money was spent to clean up that river. And they worked on that for quite some time, and it's much better than it was. It still has some problems, but not like it was. But once it's cleaned up, you don't say, well, now it's clean, we don't have to take care of it. We have to guard the river so that it continues to be clean. And so efforts are being made to watch that among the people that are using it. Well, more important then is the guarding of your heart. A believing heart, a heart made clean by the Lord Jesus, is subject to temptation, to backsliding. A Christian who has shown much love for the Lord and has been helpful to others in the Christian life can through sin and neglect lose something. Those who once were on fire for the Lord, those who once were eager to please Him, those who once were always striving to obey the Lord in all their lives, many of them today are less concerned. Some of them seem unconcerned about the things of the Lord. So it's important to guard your hearts, seek to prevent evil from finding a place in your heart. I mean, consider this. If you're treated unjustly or sinfully, what's your natural reaction? Well, I get angry. I get upset. I get bitter. And so you have to guard against bitterness that can creep into your life. You must guard against anger that takes over, takes a hold of you. Or you're living a successful life in your Christian life. Guard against pride. Guard against self-confidence. Guard against the idea that, well, I've got this all together. I can take care of myself and I can do this now. If your life falls into a routine, if you have the more, if you have most of what you want, guard against complacency, guard against indifference. When are we most eagerly seeking the Lord? Usually when it's we're lacking things, whether it's health or other problems, then we seek the Lord. But when things go well, isn't it the temptation to relax and to just kind of assume that we've got all this handled? How often a Christian's life is weakened because we allow sin to find a place in our hearts, and that sin issues into hurtful actions and attitudes and words. If I wasn't aware of this, not long ago again, I learned of a leader in one of our churches who has fallen into marital unfaithfulness. His marriage, his family, his congregation is all affected. Guard your hearts, for these things are not impossible, they're not unfound in the churches. To guard your heart, then, you must not neglect God's word. Proverbs 4:20 and 21. My son, listen closely to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart. No, man doesn't live by bread alone. As long as you've got meat, food on the table, that's not enough. But every word that proceeds from the mouth of God is something that we're to have. And a child, then, who learns God's word from home, and it's always good to see children worshiping with their families, not just on Sundays, but together at home, around the word of God. God commands us to teach and train our children in his ways so that we will see them growing up. And when they memorize God's word and meditate upon it, and that's the way they're growing up, what a blessing. As against those whose parents don't really ever open the Bible and don't talk about spiritual things with their family. Psalm 1 has always been a favorite psalm of mine. And the man or woman, says, who doesn't take counsel of the ungodly, who takes his counsel from the word of God, that's the man who's successful. That's the man who is fruitful. That's the person who will enjoy God's blessing. And so in Psalm 119, your word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. Keep God's word in your heart. Follow it, delight in it, share it, and your life will be blessed. But prayer is also needed in keeping the heart. Though we are told to guard our hearts, it's pretty plain to us that this is not going to happen just with our own strength and our own energy. It's not something that we're going to do on our own. A branch doesn't bear fruit unless it's attached to the vine. Neither is a Christian growing unless they're attached and vitally attached to Jesus Christ. And so when in our prayers is part of our connection with the Lord, and as we pray, we keep in touch with him and bring him before him our needs and our condition. Jesus taught us to pray, didn't he? Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Temptations are real. Temptations are going to face us. So what didn't say avoid temptation. Jesus said, pray. Lead us not into temptation. And evil is real as well. And sin is going to happen in our lives. So we pray again, deliver us from evil. That's the prayer of God's help in keeping our hearts in order that we might stay close to him. Pray then for guidance, for wisdom, for strength in time of your actions and decision, that it will be because your heart is right with the Lord and that what you do flows from that kind of a heart. God's word is good to use in prayer as well. You can say this verse, Lord, you tell me to guard my heart. Show me where I'm being tempted. Show me where I need wisdom to recognize the dangers and the strength to avoid evil. Thank you for giving me a new heart and keep me close to you. See, prayer flows from a heart that loves the Lord. A heart that is guarded by remaining in the body of believers as well. Often our hearts grow cold when we fail to fellowship with God's people. We when we begin to neglect God's word and neglect his worship, and we get into go along with people whose hearts are cold already, and we get ourselves, and we find this happening in our lives and the lives of others that we know. And so we need to remain among God's believers. Scripture tells us pray for one another, tells us to love one another, to admonish one another, to teach one another, to stir one another up, or to love and good works. That's part of the body life. That's part of being fellowship in the church. I just never understand how somebody can say, I'm a Christian, but I just don't believe in the church and I don't want to be in the church. Well, these are God's people. These are the ones that God has given to encourage us, and we to encourage them, and together to grow together. Guard your heart then, because you have something to share, and you must share it with your fellow Christians. And we worship together. This morning we're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper together. And as we do that, we're reminding each other of what God has done for us. We're expressing our love to him. We're focusing on his love for us. And we're saying, Lord, help me to love you and to serve you as I ought. So in these things, we are helping one another to guard our hearts. Third, then, consider the priority of the heart. Above all else, guard your heart. The rest of Proverbs 4 talks about other aspects of life. Verse 24, your mouth and your lips. Verse 25, your eyes and your gaze. Verse 27, your feet and your paths. You know, we're told to give attention to what you look at. Give attention to where you go and walk. Give attention to what you say with your lips. But you know, first of all, don't just look at your eyes and feet and hands. Look at your heart, for that is the wellspring of life. The heart is the source of all things. So most of all, guard your hearts. The heart is the stronghold. It used to be in the early days when people went out to settle in a new area. Often they would settle near a fort, because if the dangers come, if there was an attack, you could always rush to the fort and there you'd find protection. But if the fort fell, then all was lost, because all protection was gone. You might say that about the heart. Now you can focus upon various things, your hands and your eyes and your feet. But if the heart goes bad, the rest goes bad as well. Jesus brings this out. He says, if your hand offends you, cut it off. If your eye offends you, pluck it out. Better to have only one eye and one hand than to have two eyes or two hands and to be cast into hell. In other words, do whatever is necessary to guard your hearts. Sometimes there's relationships. Sometimes there's activities. Sometimes there's places that we go that are having a negative effect upon our lives. And he said, if you see that and you realize that with the danger, better to cut it off, break it completely, in order that you might spare your heart and that your heart might continue right with the Lord. Better to have, he's saying, only one hand and one eye than to have everything and then turn away from the Lord. Now, the people of Jesus' day didn't understand that, the Pharisees particularly. Whenever we talk about the Pharisees, what do they focus on? Well, they focus on the outward, washing hands. They focus on eating clean food and other kinds of things. It was the feet, the eyes, the hands. But Jesus called them what? White as sepulchres, clean on the outside, but full of dead men's bones. Ungodly heart on the inside. But we're tempted to do that same thing. Temptations are, what are people going to think? And so we look at outwardly what kind of impression we're making. Attendance at church, saying our prayers at mealtimes, making people see only what we want them to see. I want to give a good impression. So sometimes we do that, we cover up our hearts, which are the most important. And that is, what is our first priority? Above all else, a heart must be kept pure. A heart that is filled with love for Christ. That is your key. I don't think I said anything new this morning. You're reminded, each one of us needs to understand this, because this is a temptation to be half-hearted, to have divided loyalties. God wants your heart filled with his word, filled with his spirit. He hates the hypocrites. The greatest commandment of all is to do what? Love the Lord your God with all your mind, all your heart, all your strength, and all your soul. Commit yourselves then to guard your heart, which is the wellspring of life. Be ready to help others do the same. Together, let us love the Lord with a pure heart. Blessed are the pure in spirit, or pure in heart, for they shall see God. Let's pray. O Lord our God, we acknowledge the truth of your word and the temptations that are facing us each day. We're thankful, too, for your grace, and we pray that you'd work in us by your Spirit, and that you'd fill us with your Spirit, that our hearts might be full of your love and grace, and that our actions might be reflecting a right and godly heart. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.